888-789-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, look at this. There's going to be a Rugrats Kwanzaa special. How about that? 8 o'clock on December the 5th, Nickelodeon. Aunt T, voice of Irma P. Hall, encourages her family to celebrate the holiday by living with dignity and kindness each day. The Rugrats Kwanzaa special, and there ain't a one of them that's black. Except for that one little black kid that comes in about once a month. Just the one little black kid that comes in. All right, you're on, Eddie.
Man, everything.
Okay, that's it. And then they're going to have a Rugrats Hanukkah special Saturday, December 14th. Everything's cool so far, right? But look at this. A Rugrats Ramadan special coming up here on Sunday, December the 3rd. And there's a whole lot of these things. Let me tell you, I've said it before, and it really needs repeating. Not that I know anything about this, but I listen to people. I like to keep my ears open. White folk don't celebrate Kwanzaa. Black folk don't white folk celebrating Kwanzaa. Don't put on your Kwanzaa dress and take your white ass out there to your black friend's house or the people who are black that you work with that you say are your friends, because they don't want to see that. That's totally for black people. It's some screwy holiday that some guy made up, and it's strictly a black pride thing. And don't be sticking your white face in the middle of the Kwanzaa party. Thank you very much. That's what it's about. That's what I hear. And it's fine with me. It's fine with me. Sometimes I just think a holiday is a cool holiday for just certain people. And if you don't dig it, you don't have to knock it necessarily, but don't celebrate it. And just everybody else shut up, right? Like, Christmas got to be so overbearing, we all got to take the day off, whether you like it or not, Jews and Christians alike. Too bad, so sad, your dad. And it got to be such a big event, the whole world shuts down on Christmas. And because we, Christians, had to stick that one down, everybody's throat, now everybody wants to shut the world down on their day. So now, Rosh Hashanah, half of them don't show up. And now comes Ramadan. Some cat's going to, 85 million guys want that. When do we start getting the Kwanzaa time off slips? And it just goes on and on and on and on. Fine. I think there's so many holidays in this country. I think it's disgraceful how many days we take off in this country. I honestly do. I remember when I traveled to China, and I was there, riding a bicycle. Not that please don't think I was wealthy at the time. I literally was riding a bike through China. But they have one holiday, one and one only. It's October 1st. It's what the day they call their National Liberation Day. People take the day off to go. The rest of it, they work 6 days a week. In this country, we're taking every day off, and we're trying to decide which is another day we ought to take off. I heard my kids the other day, should September 11th be a holiday? Yeah, that's a real, that's a real party. No, man. It's not a holiday. It's a day of remembrance, not a holiday. And we got Martin Luther King's Day, if you're going to give one to the, Thomas Jefferson, might as well lay one on Martin Luther King, too. That's all right with me. Memorial Day and Labor Day and this day and that day and Rosh Hashanah Day. And by the way, who gets Veterans Day off? Because I don't. The schools are open. The bank is closed. The bank's open. The schools are closed. Do you have it off? Do I have it off? Who's got it off? Who got off? Who's getting off? Nobody. So then they're going to have a SpongeBob SquarePants SpongeBob Christmas. One can only imagine what that's going to be like, a SpongeBob Christmas. That's like something out of a hallucination. They're going to have Robbie the Reindeer in Hooves of Fire. Frosty the Snowman, the Grinch that Stole Christmas, Christmas Orange, Christmas Carol, Charlie Brown's Christmas, Christmas in Rockefeller Center, Christmas in Boston, Christmas in Chicago, Christmas in Tehran. Dear Santa, Dear Mrs. Claus, the Blockbuster Holiday Christmas Special, Christmas in Aspen, Tradition, a Holiday Celebration, which, by the way, AP spelled Tradition, T-R-A-D-I-C-I-O-N. America's Greatest Christmas Decorations. America's Greatest Christmas Decorations. That's a hip idea, because what do we do on Christmas, or what did we used to do when we were so bored and so drunk we didn't know what else to do? You got it. We get in the car and drive around and look at the lights. Now, you don't have to get in your car and drive around and look at the lights, because on NBC, 7 o'clock Sunday night, America's Greatest Christmas Decorations. And here's a street in Secaucus. This is Hastings Ranch, California. And look at, see how the elves move here, Ed? There's movement. There's movement. And that's what you want. You want movement. The White House, Christmas 2002, a peek inside the holiday-bedecked White House with a state dining room, the other areas transformed by artisans, and cocktails with the Bushes. Christmas in Washington. And here's one you're going to want to see. The Anna Nicole Holiday Special. On E! Entertainment Television, Anna Nicole and Pooch Sugar Pie throw a party for guests including Kathy Griffin, Margaret Cho, and Rip Taylor. Oh, I gotta get invited to that. Margaret Cho and Rip Taylor and Kathy Griffin at Anna Nicole's house with sugar pie. Do you know the Seconal, the Tulinol, just the amounts of Quaaludes that will get flushed down the toilet when they hear... Los Angeles Police Department. Los Angeles Police Department. The Christmas Truce. A documentary recounts a World War I Christmas Day truce in which German and British soldiers came together in peaceful celebration. You're putting me on. Saturday Night Live, Christmas 2002. Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey are the hosts for a 28-year collection of the comedy show's worst, most badly timed, badly written sketches. Nah, it actually says the best, but I would watch it if it was the worst. A Home for the Holidays, 8 p.m. Friday, December 20th, the fourth annual special presenting stories of adoption told by celebrities to bring public attention to the issue. What? Celebrities will tell stories about adoption? Starring what, Rosie O'Donnell? Oh, thanks. Okay, so let me just go ahead and get the straight razor out now, and I'll just go ahead and open up a nice big vein in a tub. Annie, bring it on in here. Just bring it into the bath. Just put the TV in the bathroom, and I'll go ahead and run a bath. I've got the straight razor poised over my wrists. Here it is, celebrities telling stories of adoption. Christmas Across America 2002. Willard Scott is the host of a 39-city tour showing the regional diversity of holiday celebrations. The hell is that supposed to mean? Now you're really scaring me, see. I got Kwanzaa, I got Hanukkah, and I got Ramadan. Now you're telling me somehow they're celebrating it different in Florida than well, actually, they do celebrate it different in Florida. It's called Hanukkah. 12 hours long, Willard Scott will host a 39-city tour. 12 solid hours of Willard Scott going, hey, Mary Jones, she's 115 years old today. Doesn't she look good? By the way, it's 12 hours long because Willard Scott, believe it or not, and this is true, has a fear of going over bridges. So they have to detour over, you know, around. It's going to take a long time to do those 39 cities. Can't go over that bridge. I'm scared crapless. Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade. Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa are the hosts of the parade, which features the Cirque du Soleil as well as Disney and ABC stars. There you go. That's all the crap that's going on. And, of course, let's not forget Dick Clark's primetime New Year's Rockin' Eve 2003. This year with James Taylor, Alabama, and other bands that were hot in 1976. Then Dick Clark's thing, the countdown to midnight, the partying with Missy Elliott, Nelly, Rod Stewart, Justin Timberlake, and Kelly Clarkson. And then Dick Clark dies. That's at 12 midnight. Countdown to Dick Clark finally checking out with Kelly Clarkson, Rod Stewart, and Alabama. So don't miss it. All right, so that Rugrats Kwanzaa crap is frightening beyond words. Other than that, everything looks pretty good. And It's a Wonderful Life. Don't miss that. And somebody's bound to say during that Dick Clark special, where's Dick? He's under the ball. All right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. If you're interested in our Best of CD for the year 2002, you can pick it up. And by the way, I heard this just before I came in here. What's the name of your CD? World Famous. Are you sure that somebody hasn't copyrighted that? Who's copyrighted world famous? I don't understand. World famous is, there's world famous everything. There's world famous, the world famous pizzerias, and there's the world famous Empire State Building, and there's the world famous Cirque du Soleil, and there's the world famous Moscow Bear Circus, and there's the world, what are you talking about? Copyrighted it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to copyright it. Phil Henry's World Famous 2002. Just pick up the phone and dial this fancy number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. Order any of the best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. And remember, that is the World Famous Phil Henry Show. Again, the number, 877-616-7445. Our website, philhenryshow.com, December 20th, our special six-hour webcast.
1-800-449-8686. The World Famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, I drive my daughter to school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This morning was really tough. I didn't get to bed till like 2 because we were getting ready to do our, see, you know, this TV show that I've been involved in? We're now doing the story pitch. You wouldn't believe to get a TV show made. We got up, we did the story, then we did the story pitch. Now we're going to do the network story pitch. And if the network story pitch and the studio story pitch goes, then we can do a script. And if the script goes, then we can do a first draft. And then a second draft. And then a third draft. And then you're out. And then a pilot. And all of that. So I've explained that to you guys, and it's bizarre. So anyway, I was up late thinking of crap to do in this. I've been using that word an awful lot the last 20 minutes. I'm going to try to restate. Thinking of things to do for this this pitch or whatever it is that we're calling it. So when I got up this morning, a little tired, and I'm taking Catherine to school, and she's a Radio Disney freak, as I've told you guys, and she listens to Radio Disney, and of course I'm coming up with all kinds of things that I won't say out loud because they have this slogan, Radio Disney, we're all ears, and I'm in my mind, I'm going, we're all queers, I need a beer. We're full of fear, you know, things I can't say to her. But there are certain things I can share with her. Like, there's a song out right now called I Wanna Be Your Romeo, Hey Juliet. And it's a real teeny bopper thing. I mean, everything they play on that station is full on teeny bop. It is aimed at, 11 to about 12 to 13-year-old girls. Not at the top end, 12-year-old girls. Because by 13, they're really heavy into Jewel, and they're implosive, and they're thinking about, you know, suicide and all of that Diane Arbus stuff, you know, that Sylvia Plath stuff. But at 12, they're still happy, and like I'm driving her to school, I said, Catherine, do you realize that the day will come when you'll be embarrassed to have me dropping you off at school? And she's giving me this look like, that you talk about. I mean, there's going to be a day when me pulling up with you sitting shotgun, you'll be embarrassed.
Why?
Because it'll not be cool.
Maybe when I can drive.
Well, you see, no, even before you can drive, because you'll be a freshman sophomore before you can drive.
Then I get it.
Okay, well, you don't get it now, but I guarantee you'll want me dropping you off 3 blocks from school someday. So we're driving along, and I can't come up with this. Radio Disney, you know, we're all queer. So I hear this, Hey Romeo, I'm Juliet, or whatever the hell the song is. You ever hear this song? Craig, come on, you listen to all the hits, man. Don't you go to that Clockwork Orange Club, man? They play that stuff. It's real techno. And so, Hey, Juliet, I want to be your Romeo. And I'm driving along, and being the evil stepdad, I said, so in other words, they're going to kill themselves.
Why?
Well, that's the story of Romeo and Juliet. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know that Romeo and Juliet make a suicide pact? And there's Catherine. She's just singing like a little girl, you know, hey, huh, I want to be your Romeo. I said, yeah, really? So they're going to kill each other. Yes.
No, they're not. It's a different Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, I see. No, it isn't. That guy doesn't know what he's singing about. That guy wants to be Romeo, which means he wants to die. He wants to die. Thank God I got a kid that she knows I'm full of crap. I've known the kids long enough now. They know I'm so full of it. My eyes are brown. They look at me like I'm just freaked, like I'm the most whack thing in their life. But of course, she'll repeat this stuff back to her mom. You know,
mom says that Romeo and Juliet killed themselves, and that song's about they're gonna kill themselves.
My wife's like, "Did you really see?" Yes, I did. I mean, there's gonna be murder. There'll be suicide and death on Radio Disney. So it's very cool. 1-800-449-8686. Dave yesterday. Dave Oliver was with us on the show. Dave is, of course, a prospective LAPD officer. At least he'd like to be an LAPD officer. He believes that USO shows. He believes that the celebrities visiting our troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, and here at home, the only reason why celebrities do that is to flash all their jewelry and all of their celebrity and to threaten the GIs that when they leave, movie stars are going to sleep with their wives and girlfriends.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Are you LAPD? You're nothing right now. You're in school.
Right now.
Until you see one of your buddies get shot or something, and you have to deal with that, and then you sit there, and you have somebody that everybody knows comes to see you and your unit and everything else, then talk.
See,
until
what,
then,
man?
Don't say anything.
What, did you see Heather Locklear?
Yes, I did, a matter of fact.
Where?
And I enjoyed it.
Where?
She came to Kuwait.
Okay. Didn't it remind you of your old lady screwing around back home?
No, it didn't.
Well,
I'm not worried. You know,
I think you're being honest, man.
The thing is, I trust my wife.
Well, I don't think you're being honest, man. What branch of the service were you in?
I was in the Army.
Okay, the number one requested book for the Army was Houdini's Magic Tricks.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Instead of, if you want to talk about it, go join the Army or Marines or Navy or whatever and go through boot camp and go overseas, and then you'll see. You're in school. That's all you know.
That's right. You're in school, and...
You didn't hatch sea monkeys in your bunk, did you?
Do what?
You know sea monkeys?
Hey, yeah.
I'm with you.
You know what? I was more worried about...
I feel bad that you don't realize... Your wife was out in a skirt the day you left.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what, buddy? I was more worried about my unit and keeping my men alive and keeping our unit going so we could come home.
Yeah, but
that's what I was more worried about. I wasn't trying to read a book.
But the good thing about Kuwait was most of the fighting was done by the Air Force. By the time you guys come in, you just walk to Baghdad.
Oh, is that what you think?
Well, yeah.
Why don't you go over there?
Oh, man.
There's a road in Kuwait. You drive down it, and you'll see nothing but burned up vehicles.
Was that
we shot up? You go look.
Was that you?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, okay, Dave. Whatever, man. Heather Locklear, as soon as you see her, you're thinking about your girlfriend screwing around on you. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The order line for the Phil Henry Show CD is 877-616-7445. We have on December the 20th our second annual webcast on the Phil Henry Show. That means you can see and hear our show. You can watch the show prep process. You can watch as we sit in that office and scream at each other. You can watch as we sit in that office and try to come up with something different every day. Something a little bit unpredictable. Something that comments on the world at large and yet maybe a tad amusing. You can watch as we strangle each other, beat each other bloody, and then toss each other out into the street. But only if you have a backstage pass. So you have to get that backstage pass to get access to our webcast, to all of our audio, to all the really cool stuff on our website. To do that, go to philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Follow the very handy and friendly instructions, and we'll do the rest.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now,
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. To call, east of the Rockies, call 1-800. I got to take a piss.
And good morning, coast to coast, from the Rocky Mountains to the North Pole, from the South Pole to your pole. This is Coast to Coast. I'm Art Bell. And a very good morning to you. We have got what we have promised you for a long time. General Johnson Jameson from his bunker complex beneath Regina, Canada. He will be reporting to us on UFO 2002, the search for extraterrestrial life, and what progress has been made in the face of government obstruction. First, this from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, when the world comes to an end and civilization has ceased to exist, what are you going to use to trade with? Well, what about animal skins and spearheads? That's right. Now, from Peenemann Enterprises, you can pick up a beautiful beaver pelt, deer pelt, moose pelt, badger pelt, elk pelt, rabbit pelt, all of the wonderful pelts, and the traditional high-quality, trade-for-a-very-high-price cat pelt. That's right. At Peenemann Enterprises, all kinds of animal hides, skins, and pelts can be yours to trade road warriors and all kinds of wild demons running the night. Those are spearheads and animal hides to trade so that you can keep your wife and daughter from being traded as slaves and you raped anally. That's new from Peenemann Enterprises. All right, and if the line to Regina, Canada is not good, please, I apologize. General Johnson Jameson joins us now on the line from Regina. General Jameson.
Hello, Art.
General Jameson, good morning. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much.
General Jameson, I know it's been a very long night for you.
Well, we've just concluded watching the Steven Spielberg special on Taken. It's the history of UFOs. It was on national television last night. I don't imagine you watched it, did you?
No, I did not. I know that it was a docudrama.
It was a docudrama, yes. And I thought it was very prescient of you to mention what would happen to a man by road warriors in the future, because after watching Steven Spielberg's miniseries last night, I'm pretty convinced of something that I've suspected all along. As you know, here in my bunker complex, we keep track of all extraterrestrial craft that flies in and around the area.
And also, if people go to your website...
Yes, the website is www...
Now, I want everyone to pay attention, because there's some wonderful photographs of the UFO and different extraterrestrial phenomena.
And we've got some new photographs, too, by the way, that we'll be putting up later on. But
all right, let's give the website, listen carefully, then I want to get to find out what has been taking place lately, because I know something very big happened last night.
Yeah, it's www.unidentifiedflyingobjectsfrightenme, because they're flying all over the globe, and I'm hiding from them. And I still can't get my doctor to return my phone call and extending my prescription.com. And
all right, that's www.UFOs are flying all over the world and they're frightening me and I can't get my doctor to extend my prescription.com.
That is correct.
All right. Now, General Jameson, for our new listeners, tell us what's been going on up there at your bunker complex.
Well, we are 600 feet below the Earth's crust, and we are studying flying saucers. Now, people ask, how can you study flying saucers 600 feet below the crust of the Earth? And I say to them, and I say this to you now, it's really none of your business what I do with my private life and my private time. Just rest assured I can see things down here and everything's okay. Now, I watched the Spielberg show. I have long suspected, as you know, Art, that I've been anally probed by Steven Spielberg.
Yes, I do.
All right. Now I know I have.
Now, what was it about the Spielberg thing last night that convinced you?
Well, because that material that I saw on television last night had to have been pulled out of someone's ass. And I'm pretty sure it was mine.
All right. Well, I can tell you it's really astounding. And we thank you, General Jameson.
Yes. But as you know, I've written several letters to Mr. Spielberg telling him, look, at least take me out for a drink.
I understand that. Thank you very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Art Bell, Coast to Coast AL. Dial 1-800-52. Excuse me for a moment. I'm so in love with myself, I have to do something about it. All right, anyway. The show's over? I'm sorry. Actually, you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Shucks.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you may not want us to go to war in Iraq, and you may think that there is a chance we won't go to war in Iraq, but have I got news for you? Forget it. We've got U.S. forces in a progressive buildup in the Middle East that is faster than anything we did during the Gulf War. We have got the USS Washington Carrier Battle Group in the Mediterranean. That baby is parked right off the shore near Syria. Anybody wants to get cute? We got some boys jumping off there. We got the, in Saudi Arabia, 6,600 troops, mostly Air Force, at the Prince Sultan Air Base, protected by two Patriot missile batteries. In Diego Garcia, which is an island in the Indian Ocean, it's about a couple of thousand miles south of India. It's the home to the 40th Air Expeditionary Wing, two naval squadrons. It can now accommodate as many as six B-2 stealth bombers, which is how we will initially attack Iraq. And understand, and this from my source in the Middle East, that this war will be different from the Gulf War. The Gulf War was a buildup of some 500,000 troops, I believe, coalition troops. This will not be a massive invasion. This will be battalion size strikes. For instance, I don't have any doubt that right now there are special ops inside Iraq. Maybe not special ops, but we have intelligence in there right now. When we go to war, we will drop special ops forces in strategic places to take care of certain things. And that will be as we're bombing. So you're not going to be seeing bomb, 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 bomb for 6 weeks. You're going to see maybe 10 days. And then you're going to see this battalion size series of strikes, both while the bombs are dropping and after, taking care of control and command and other infrastructure of Iraq. Don't I sound like I know what I'm talking about? That's because I sit and drink my scotch, by the way, with my good friend Mr. Churchill once a week. There's not going to be any dumb bombs. There'll be all smart bombs, and so on and so forth. Now, the other thing that's interesting, see, most of us say, well, the Iraqis this, the Iraqis that. Understand that there's some Iraqis that we have a lot to be thankful for. There are Iraqis right now who work for us. There are Iraqis right now who are deep cover agents working for the CIA. There are Iraqi nationals, Iraqi citizens who are working deep cover for the CIA, and they are risking their lives literally to ensure that a lot of our soldiers don't, more of our soldiers don't meet a fate that we wouldn't want them to meet. So there are people inside right now working on our behalf, and a lot of them, most of them, are Iraqis. Okay, now the other thing that you need to know is that right now the Mossad, you know the Kenya thing? Sharon has told the Mossad, go get them. Now, they were restrained up to this point. They operated through diplomatic channels up to this point. Sharon has now told Mossad, go. Now, when those guys, right now in Kenya, there are hospital workers on the ground, there are Israeli hospital workers, there are Israeli doctors, there are Israeli nurses, and you better believe there's Israeli Secret Service and espionage on the ground in Kenya right now. And I don't know if you know much about how the Mossad works, but you know those old jokes about finding something in a guy's mouth and his mouth is sewed shut? Well, they do an awful lot of that. The Israeli Mossad hasn't got any, there's no legal prescription over them about whether they assassinate. They go and they do it very well. They have about 2,000 full-time employees. The CIA, by contrast, has around 35, 40,000 employees. And the Israeli Mossad, they do all kinds of jobs. They do deep cover, they come back and they work in the office, they do filing, they go back out and assassinate somebody to come back in. They do all kinds of different things. And the Israelis now have said, the government has told their Secret Service, go find and rip them a new ass, which is exactly what's happening right now. See, the world has gotten sick of this. Whether or not you believe we ought to go to war with Iraq, the world is getting tired of these animals. Now, personally, if it was up to me, I would leave the Middle East and I wouldn't let the screen door hit my ass. I am so tired of being involved in that disgusting part of the world. I can't keep my lunch down. Why can't we find a little of that fossil fuel, steam engine, electricity kind of a thing going on, man? I don't know. You know how long since I was in high school they've been talking about, and we'll have steam-powered cars someday. Oh, really? That's great. I'm 50 now. Do you mind? And don't you ever show me another Jetsons cartoon with the guy flying around unless you want to make with that flying car. Because when I was 8, I was sure I'd be in a flying car. Now I want steam-powered cars, I want electrical-powered cars, I want wind-powered cars, and I want them now. I don't want to wait anymore, and I don't want any more oil from Saudi, or is it Saudi Arabia? They and all of their kind, whether they're working on our behalf, whether they're our very best friends, whether they're just the sweetest cats going down, whether it's just one big old home week block party or not, I don't want to have personally anything more to do with any of them. Let's get out of there, man. Come on, Bush. Let's go, baby. Look, you've been doing some nice things. People are on your side. A couple of the Democrats are swinging in, too. Everybody's on board. We're going in for the big win. Do something for us, will you? Get us off of that oil, man. Get us off of that stuff. Do you see what it's taking for us to maintain that SUV out in the parking lot, that big, fat, disgusting car that my wife drives, and the big, fat, overpowered, armored personnel carrier that most of our wives drive, and we got the little kids all propped up in the back? Boy, if it was up to me, I'd take the kids to school in a Volkswagen Bug with two of them in the trunk. And I'd scream in at about 60 miles an hour. All right, get out. Look at what it's taking. We got the 4,200 troops in some headquarters in God knows where, Iraq. The Abraham Lincoln carrier group, 2,000 Air Force troops in Oman, amphibious ready group somewhere around in the Persian Gulf region. We got the United Arab Emirates with 500 Air Force, 3,300 in Qatar, 12,000 in Kuwait, 3,800 in Turkey. Why? Because we are subjected to these terrorist attacks. And why are we subjected to terrorist attacks? Because we're in the Middle East. They don't want us there. Why don't they want us there? Because something about how we're desecrating the holy grounds of Muhammad. Some bullcrap. Who believes it? I don't know. Do you? I don't know. Some guy was looking into a crystal ball one night with a rag on his head, and he said, we must drive the infidels out. Okay, cool. So they got to get out? We got to get out. So let's get out. Now that I have your attention, I'd like to tell you about my CD. If you'll just send $20, well, let's get out of there, man. What's it going to take? See, don't give me any more of this stuff about how, well, it takes a while. When I was a high school senior, something was enough. I was a high school senior walking out of class one day, and I saw all the kids walking down the hall with green armbands on. Back in the day, everybody had long hair and buckskin jackets. They're listening to Buffalo Springfield, and they got green armbands on. What is this? It's Earth Day. This is the first Earth Day. And we're going to, like, clean up the environment. Some stoned friend of mine. I said, really? Yeah. Freaking 32 of those have gone by, man. I guess we're cleaning up the environment, but I'm still pumping that lead crap out into the air with that car that I drive. How about you? And because we need it, because we've got all of these things that run on it, we got to send guys down there to the Middle East and protect it. And meanwhile, all of them towel heads down there, now they got a new kick, see? It used to be they were secular anti-American and anti-Zionist, but now the new kick is they're religious anti-American and anti-Zionist. Now God said it's cool. Since they couldn't get anything done with cats like Nasser and the rest of those real inept slobs, now they've gone down the religion route. The imam says that we got to get rid of the Americans. The Ayatollah Ashola says that we got to get rid of the Americans. See, the Quran says, those cats are going to try anything. So what I say, and I know you guys agree, let's get out of there. Let's leave that rotten, filthy part of the world once and for all. Let's start pumping the oil out of wherever we can. I'm sorry about the squirrels and the chipmunks. There's got to be some compromise we can strike up in Alaska so that everybody that's worried about a caribou calf, that's going to be cool, and we can still pump a few gallons out of there. Whatever we got to do, wind power, rain power, seal power, chipmunk power, hamster power, I don't care. I'll take turns. I'll get on a treadmill once a day. Whatever we got to do, let's get out of there, because it's vile, it's disgusting, it's despicable. It's nowhere that any American should be. They are so foreign and so anti-everything that we stand for and everything that we represent. There's not a one of them down there that's a friend of ours. Not a one. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many Saudis come over to Disneyland and buy all them mouse hats. I don't care how many of them Qatar cats take out ads on 9/11. I don't care how, you know, just let's leave. And take our money with us. And you watch how fast Saudi Arabia turns into a freaking sand trap overnight. Only thing that'll be good for is, you sure you don't want any more? No, that's enough sand today, Abdul. We'll be back next month, okay? We're building a couple of more golf links down in Florida. The only thing we'll be getting out of there is sand. Saudi Arabia, the world's number one source for sand. I'd love it. I'd love it no end. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I want you to sit and think about what I just said. My mouth's a little dry. Is it that Starbucks again? What are you putting in my coffee? Don't lie to... Gin? Oh, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, Phil Hendry.
I want to hear the story, and then I read the news story.
Well, sir, I want to explain, though.
Go ahead.
My daughter bought these shirts for her husband and my son-in-law, and these shirts are called wife beaters.
I'm familiar with them.
And I told her it was a tragic name for a shirt, and I asked her a tragic name for anything to call it a wife beater. I thought that it was...
Seems to trivialize something serious.
I think so, yes, sir. And I asked my daughter if Mike, who is my son-in-law, had ever laid a hand on her, and she said no. And I said, that's good, because let me tell you, Mr. Hendry, anyone lays a hand on my daughter, and they will die screaming.
All right.
Well, let me finish, because I come from a time when it was accepted for a man to beat his wife, and we all did it at the time. We had come home from a war, World War II or Korea, and a lot of us missed the action, we missed the battle, and we still, I guess you could say, we had a little fight left in us, and so we smacked our wives around for fun, and they made a big deal out of it. Well, it's no different from what these guys, for instance, coming back from Iraq are going to do. They'll
the guys from Iraq will come home with a lot of adrenaline?
I know what we used to say, you still got a lot of fight in you.
Uh-huh.
And you want to smack your girlfriend or your wife around. But it was part of the relationship in those days for the man to physically discipline his wife. That's what we used to call it. But I learned it was unacceptable. And these T-shirts called Wife Beaters, I think, said the wrong message.
So I want to, not to interrupt you, you used to beat your wife, sir?
Let me repeat what I just said. I said I learned it was unacceptable to hit your wife. And I learned to get a woman's attention is not to strike her.
Yes, sir.
And any man that would do that should die with blood in his mouth. And to call these shirts wife beaters, I think, trivializes something very serious.
And I think that that's good that you've come to that realization, Mr. Bonafide.
Well, I just think that any man that would do that to a woman belongs in a jail cell.
All right. Now you told Janice, my producer, that you don't beat your wife anymore, but you throw things at her.
All right, but just you're mixing apples and oranges. For you to compare that with beating your wife.
Well, I don't know that I'm necessarily doing that.
Well, I would not do that because that is unconscionable and it's untrue.
Well, I didn't say that you're beating your wife now, but you told Janice when you get angry, you have thrown forks at your wife, you've thrown magazines and newspapers at her, you said you threw a remote.
Mr. Henry, I have not beaten my wife in over 30 years, and throwing items at her in frustration, sir, is not beating her.
Well, did you throw things at her? You throw things at her out of anger. You say that you threw a Duraflame log at her out of anger.
I want to be very clear. Throwing things in frustration is not beating your wife. There was a time when I used my fists.
But if you struck...
I want to finish what I'm saying. Over 30 years ago, I did. I don't do that anymore. And what you need to understand, sir, I don't beat my wife. And a lot of us Korean War veterans don't do it anymore. I get angry. I throw things, yes. And if I hit her with a Duraflame log, mister... Let me tell you, that doesn't hurt near as much as the fists of a United States Navy veteran might. And a lot of us come home from Korea.
Anyway, well, I don't want to upset you.
A lot of us come home from Korea. And we had a lot of fight in us still. And well, if we smacked our wives around to our girlfriends, who's to know? And they said it was wrong and okay, so we don't do it anymore.
Don't you think that throwing a fork at a woman is dangerous?
That's nowhere near as dangerous as you do a disservice to millions of men in uniform and veterans when you say to us that when we throw an apple or a wrench, that is somehow equated to wife beating. And, sir, you owe an apology to millions of men who are in uniform today so you can sleep under this blanket of freedom.
Your wife was treated at an emergency room for a head wound that she received when you threw something at her.
Sir, my wife is hard of hearing. We were coming out of the Red Robin restaurant. I had a beer stein that they give away in their promotions for drinking, what is it called, Carol? For drinking the beer. And my wife didn't see a car backing out. And I hit her with a beer stein, so they're the only thing I could do. And for you to compare that...
All right, you got her attention.
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, I got to take just to give a phone number out here. And so maybe people, if they want, they can call in.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Lloyd, I understand you're a Korean War veteran, and I respect that.
Well, I want you to understand what a lot of us went through back then.
All right, I know that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran, and but that's a long time ago. Now, we're talking about... You say that you used to beat your wife, but you don't do it anymore. You throw things at her out of frustration.
That is correct, yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm not apologizing for that.
All right, but I kind of agree with you. You say you don't like the name Wife Beater T-shirts.
I think that any man that would lay his hands on a woman should die screaming. And I think it's the height of cowardice to beat a woman. And when I did it, it was different because I was a veteran and I come home from Korea.
Well, wait a minute. When you did it, you say it was different because you were a veteran.
When the veterans did it, we did it because we just come home from the war. and we had a lot of fight in us, and to smack your wife around, it was relaxing. But now I understand it was wrong, and I would never do that. And for you to bring up me throwing, I threw a wrench at my wife. I was angry. She had promised me a tuna fish sandwich, and she brought it into the garage.
Sir, I...
Don't, please let me finish, sir.
All right.
She promised me a tuna fish sandwich, and she brought it into the garage. And I had asked her, and this has been going on for over 30 years of marriage, please don't put mayonnaise on the side. Mix it in with the tuna fish. And I don't know how many millionth time, she brought it with tuna fish and mayo. And I picked up a wrench, and understandably, I threw it at her after she turned to leave the garage.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is there a difference between beating your wife and just throwing something at her out of frustration? This is a Korean War veteran who believes that there is. He believes that he's stopped beating his wife and throwing shoes at her and throwing magazines at her and things like that. It's absolutely acceptable, given the fact that he's not beating her anymore, and given the fact that he is a Korean War veteran and there may still be a lot of fight in him. Our number is 1-800-449-8686.
Well, Mr. Henry, listening to you, it sounds as if you believe that I still abuse my wife.
I have questions. You've hit your wife with tools, with a phone, with fruit, with shoes, with magazines. She's been taken to a hospital for stitches that you say you hit her with a beer stein to keep her from walking into the path of a car.
Yes, sir, I did. And I will tell you, mister, you'd better get off that train of thought. I told you I don't beat my wife. And I do not beat my wife. And if you say that again, sir, I can legally sue.
All right, I don't want to get confrontational. Do you understand?
But, sir, you understand I can sue for defamation.
I didn't say anything. I said you hit your wife with a beer stein.
You said I claim.
That's what you did. You claim. 1-800-449-8686. He said he needed to get his wife's attention because she would have walked into the path of an oncoming car, and because she's hard of hearing, he hit her with a beer stein. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with Lloyd Bonafi. He is a Korean War veteran, and he has basically what we saw at the news service, sir, that your wife was in the hospital with stitches. You threw a beer stein, or you hit her with a beer stein.
And you are trying to equate that, sir, with wife beating, and it is absolutely different.
You used to beat your wife.
Yes, sir, I did. It was a lot of Korean War vets did, a lot of World War II vets did, a lot of Vietnam vets did, and a lot of your Gulf War guys did, and these Iraqi guys will.
And your explanation for that, of course, is very interesting, that you guys came home as veterans of a foreign war, and you still had a lot of fight in you. And
hitting our wives was a little bit of getting the fight out of us, yes, sir. And it was relaxing, and it was wrong, and we don't do it anymore. I love my wife, and she knows that I love her, because I'm paying attention to her. And if I throw an ashtray at her because I'm a little bit angry, it's also she gets some attention.
I don't think so, okay?
Well, you don't tell me whether I love my wife or not.
I'm not trying to tell you whether you love your wife or not. Were you in San Francisco?
I've been in San Francisco many times, sir.
Well, were you up there for a reunion of your Korean War unit?
Yes, sir, we were. We were over at the St. Francis Hotel.
And what happened there?
Nothing happened there, sir. I ordered room service, and the guy was at the door knocking and knocking on the door, and I was in the bathtub, and my wife is hard of hearing, so I unplugged the telephone and I threw it at her, and it hit her in the back.
And then you told her through sign language, answer the door.
Yes. Now I want to ask you, how do you get someone who's hard of hearing's attention to answer the door when you are yourself unable to do it? And I did the nearest best thing. I picked a telephone and I threw it at her.
Okay, your wife's been hit now with a telephone, a beer stein.
And when I hit her with the beer stein, that was to, so she wouldn't
get hit by a car.
Yes. You see, you monkeys that try to make this into a wife-beating issue really cracked me up. This has got nothing to do with beating your wife.
Well, this has got to do with using something to physically abuse her, throwing stuff at her, and...
You have to understand that that is not wife beating. Now, let's get back to this generation that thinks it's funny to wear a shirt called a wife beater. And any man that's beaten a woman, any man that hits a woman, deserves to be taken out and stabbed with a Marine Corps sword.
You've hit your wife with tools, fruit, phone, shoes, she's been taken to the hospital for stitches, and you don't beat your wife?
No, sir, I do not.
All right, well, if you say you don't beat your wife, then you don't beat your wife. Throwing an ashtray at her to get her attention is not beating her.
No, it's not. And I you know what's shocking to me is that you're not better informed. As a talk show radio host, I would think you'd be better informed.
I assume that was abusive behavior.
No, it's not. You're way off the beaten course, mister.
Well, I'd like to get some women's advocate groups in here.
No, you don't need to get any women's advocate groups, because I'm telling you that when you pick up an ashtray and throw it at your wife to get her attention, it's different from being physically abusive. At least I don't hit her like these other jackasses.
So if I had a women's advocacy group in here, I'm sure that they would agree with what I'm saying, that is...
Well, you don't know, because have you ever beaten your wife?
No, of course I haven't.
Well, I have.
You've beaten my wife.
No, you know, you can be funny if you want to, and...
All right, I don't need to beat my wife to know.
Yes, you do.
I don't need to beat my wife to know that it's bad.
Yes, you do.
How do you figure that? I know it's bad to beat my wife.
No, you don't, because you don't know... That it is what compels it and what made me do it in the first place. It was relaxing. It was fun. And I think a lot of men would do themselves a world of good if they would admit that it was fun to beat their wives. And I miss it. I miss it terribly. But I'll tell you this much, I would never do it because I know it's destructive. Now, I cracked a beer stein across the back of her head and shattered it, by the way, in six places. Now, this was an Oktoberfest Bavarian beer stein, valued at over $80.
Your wife went to the...
I understand she went to the hospital. But I cracked that across the back of her head so she wouldn't walk out in traffic. And I love her very much.
I'm not calling you a wife beater, Lloyd, but I'll tell you, there's other ways of getting somebody's attention besides cracking a beer stein across their head.
I had to drink 18 beers to get that free stein. And you know something? I can guarantee that you've been tempted to throw a turkey or a burnt tri-tip at your wife. My wife gave me a steak one night, and it was burnt like charcoal. And I took it and I threw it at her.
I've never had my wife burn a steak. I've never had my wife destroy any meal. So I've never felt tempted to throw anything at her. I've destroyed a few meals.
I heard about your tri-tip.
Yeah, I did. I burned tri-tip up.
Well, then your wife would have been well within her rights to take one of them and throw it at you.
Well, I'll tell you, the news that I have here is that you hit your wife with a beer stein. She had stitches, but the police are not charging you. And I'm simply saying that in my mind, there is no difference between throwing an ashtray at your wife or throwing what you say was a phone, or in one instance, you threw an entire table at her, and that's not wife beating. I think it's...
It is not wife beating, sir.
Well, I think it is some form of abuse.
Well, let me tell you something. The steak that my wife served me was still on fire. Okay, now what am I supposed to do with that?
Put it out?
You're damn right I did. I threw it at her, and that put it out. The wind as it was flying through the air. My wife never, ever, never served me leek soup again after I threw that bowl at her.
Whatever that's got to do with the steak.
Right.
All right, sir. I appreciate your at least taking our phone call. I know that Janice got you on short notice.
No, she didn't get me on short. I don't have anything to do. I just sit here and I watch the Fox News channel all day long.
All right. Don't hurt anybody when you throw something at them.
I don't hurt anyone. I'm a Korean War veteran and I never hurt anybody.
Thank you.
Whatever. I hope the interview went good.
Frankly, no.
Well, too bad.
1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bonafide has said that he does it out of love. He has said that when he threw a toolbox at his wife, it was with the best of intentions. He has also told reporters that his wife, being in the hospital with stitches, when he sees the scar on her head, it reminds him of him saving her life. By breaking that stein over her head, he saved her from being run over by a car. 1-800-449-8686. You know, people that are hard of hearing and their back is to you, so they can't see the sign language and they can't see your mouth and they're too far away for you to tap them on the shoulder, how do you yell at them? I guess you throw an ashtray. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is available there, and so is our Tens of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. It's royal with black, and it's a beautiful thing. It's only $200, and it's available to be shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. So pick it up on our website, philhenryshow.com. Get it over for Christmas. Get it delivered by Christmas, and as well, our best of CDs. This is the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, you know, Oregon, everything up there is wood-burning and fresh and trail boots and just neat things like that. Do you know those Nazis up there were sterilizing people for, like, whatever it was, over 50 years? See, you go to Oregon, if you're from California, you get your windshield cracked or you get the air let out of your tires. Did you know about this, Janice? If you go to Oregon and you got a California plate, guess what? Last week I'm driving behind a guy with an Oregon plate, and I began to feel strange antisocial feelings. I began to feel like I wanted to follow him. And when he stopped and got out of his car, I wanted to do bad things. Bad, bad, bad things. I did. Because I know of people who've gone up there and they took crap because they wanted plastic bags instead of paper bags. I know people that have gone up there and they had their California plates too long and they got the air let out of their tires. I know people that have gone up there and they looked cross-eyed at somebody and they got their windshield smacked because they had California plates. You go to Oregon with California plates and it's open season and it has been for at least a couple, 3 decades. It's the way it is. If you don't believe me, go on up there with a California rental car, California plates. So, of course, when we see Oregon plates down here, we just drive around like it's no big thing. I personally don't think it would be bad to put a little fear of Jesus in anybody from Oregon down here. Do you? Anyway, I'm reading a story about Oregon governor apologizes for forced sterilizations. So it turns out that there is a basic fascist underpinning to that state. A horrific Nazi eugenic underpinning to a state that otherwise is fresh, clean scrubbed, pine salt fresh, and Old Spice and all that. You know, you go up and you have the coffee and everything. The first ground coffee I ever had was in Portland. The first I said, what are you doing? What are you doing to those beans? I'm grinding them. I'm going to make coffee with them. Wow. You mean you're going to make coffee like out of the bean? Yeah. What about the can? Can't you just? No, no. My girlfriend, she had one of these espresso pots. I said, you're grinding beans. You're going to put it in that. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to make some. Oh, I know what that's called. It's called espresso. No, 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 you idiot. I'm making coffee. It's just that I'm making it. It ain't coming out of a can. Wow. I said. And then we walked down the freshly scrubbed, newly gentrified streets, walking past a clothing shop here, a new bookstore there, one of those combined book and coffee shops that were so new back in the turn of the decade of the 90s. Over here, a tavern. Over there, a Northwestern cuisine restaurant. The Seven Rivers. The beauty of Rip City, as they love to call it in Portland. Trailblazer heaven. The marvelous look of the rivers as you come across the bridge at night. It's gorgeous. They light it up at night. The Rose Garden. Going to see the Blazers play. Going out to a number of these suburban malls. Looking at all of the SUVs, the Broncos, the Blazers, the Excursions, the Explorers. The Discoveries. The Land Rovers, the Range Rovers, the Rump Rovers. The Ass Rovers. They've got them all up there. But little did you know that underlying all of that, a sick, Nazi, eugenic consciousness afoot in the state of Oregon. From 1917 to 1983, they took innocent human beings, innocent women, innocent young men, people who had done nothing other than be a little bit antisocial, a little rambunctious. Perhaps they were mentally retarded. Perhaps it was a girl who'd gotten, quote, in the way of the family. It didn't matter. In the state of Oregon, between 1917 and 1983, 2,500 people were subjected to state sterilization. Girls in reform schools, people in mental institutions, poor women selected by welfare workers were among the more than 2,500 Oregonians subjected to sterilization under a state law that stood for all of those years. They did that in Nazi Germany, too. They did that in Nazi Germany, man. They took, like, mentally retarded people and gelded them. And they did it in Oregon. So now, you know, if you ever... have you been to Germany? No? Well, Oregon's just up north of the corner. You know, just go on up there. Have yourself a stein of beer and sit down and talk to the Volk. I'm sorry, Ren. I'm kind of yanking you a little bit here. But you and your that California license plate thing, would you get over it? Look, somebody's selling the land up there. It ain't me. Guy comes up there with a California place, wants to buy a chunk of land. Who's selling it to him? You got it, some Oregonian. So you're gonna bust on that guy's plate because he's from California. What are you doing to the guy that sold the house? Jesus. And the governor up there said the usual stuff. I apologize, and I want to apologize. But the thing that they aren't talking about is compensation. How about a little money? You know, nothing says loving like something from the oven, baby. How about coming up with some of that green, some of that spending stuff? You know, saying I'm sorry, you don't eat that. So I tell you what you do, Oregon. Come up with that big change. Come up with that winning batch of green. Lay it on all them people, and all's forgiven. 1-800-44, what is the number again? Why even give it out? Forget it. I don't even give it out. The calls we've been getting today are so terrible, it doesn't even begin to approach the subject. It doesn't even abide the telling. The phone calls, frankly, the phone calls we've gotten the last week and a half have been so bad that I have put we have a busy all button. And I automatically put it on busy at times. I don't even want to hear from anybody. I know it's the season, and I know that people are out, and I know that people are busy, But by God, never in the history of talk radio, and you know that this business has you know, encouraged some pretty miserable phone calls from listeners. And I'm the only guy in this business who recognizes the true value of phone calls from listeners, which is it's like zero. But the ones we've been getting over the last week have hit an all-time low. An all-time low for something to say. There's nothing out there, man. There's nothing out there. And I think it could be the fear of the war. It could be, I think that people now have finally gotten the message that the Phil Hendry Show, and only the Phil Hendry Show, has been spreading for 12 years. And that is that talk radio itself is one big chain yank. Just one big, self-important, you-know-what pull. But once you clear the air and once you freshen up and once you, put a little of that ice blue secret in your armpits, maybe then you can flush it all out. We'll see. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-449-8686. Remember, it's toll free. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody, this is Phil Hendry, and because you've refused to participate in this radio show in any meaningful way, I'm now going to punish all of you. I'm going to punish you with some stuff here. I found this. I don't know what this is. I don't even know who this is. I don't know who she is. Because your phone calls have sucked. This is for you. I don't know what or who? I don't recognize who it is. She's got some face on the cover. Whoever it is. Yes, for a week and a half, your phone calls have blown and blown yet again. This is for you. Okay, let's do another one. Doesn't that suck? Get out of here. Here's something else for you. And here's something else. That blows. That sucks. That hurts. And that too. Oh, boy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Ouch.
I heard you call for an all-star band. It's something new for the...
For all that I do for you, for all of the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into this radio program, I might as well be playing this. For all of the time we spend looking into the meaningful issues, the topical issues, for all of the effort that we put into trying to write something funny for this radio show, I might as well come in here every day and play this stuff. And I still don't know who this is. I have no... It's a face, and there's no name on the cover. It was so bad, they just put her face on the cover and wouldn't put her name on it. It says Janice and Garrow's Greatest Hits. I just saw it here. I might as well just play this. This is probably hitting the exact demo of the radio station that I'm on right now that they try to attract. Yes, indeed, folks. Yes, the Phil Hendry Show, heard on AM stations across America, attracting that 75-plus demo for the 50th solid year.
Out in the woodshed sun, wife's pop of Benny Goodman, and he's sure
and
quick. Have the proper
liquor... Oh, shut up before I start to cry.
Slap, slap, slap. Boy, he plays...
That's what I might as well be doing. Slap, slap, slapping. At home.
Say, I'll bet before they're through, you'll be gone, capers do.
Do, 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 do. Oh, God. Yeah, here come the phone calls now. I don't want to take one phone call ever again on this radio show. Ever again. Ever again. It'll never happen. No more phone calls. I'm done. I'm through. I know many of my colleagues across the country have already experimented with that. I mean, we do whole shows without real phone calls. I mean, we get, like, the nuts who call in talking to fake voices. But I'm talking about, like, real calls from real people. We do whole shows without those. Because people tend not to want to participate in much of what we talk about, given the fact that I'm the only guy who knows what he's talking about around here. So if I ain't doing a fake voice and somebody's getting schmucked in on that, I might as well just talk to myself. And so that is why I have given instructions to our engineering department. I'm going to remove the phone system. I'm removing the phone. And as a matter of fact, I've also made this decision. When we do funny voices, I'm not going to take any phone calls either. I'm not taking any phone calls during the funny voice segments anymore. I'll just be talking to myself and just for 3 solid hours every day until they can't stand it any longer and they pull me off the air. I don't need this anymore. NBC thinks I'm a big talent. Haven't you heard? Haven't you seen the news? Oh, yeah, I'm all the rage, man. I'm all that and more. I'm all that and a bag of freaking chips. I'm, all washed up. I can do a TV show. Work my ass off doing that. This is easier than doing that. You got to go in there and you got to stand around half of your life waiting for somebody to say, okay, let's block it again. And what am I blocking here? A show that isn't funny? Great. Because here's the thing. This medium has not been used to its full potential until I came along. Me. Along came Phil, and we came up with the idea of doing a satirical approach using character voices that, oh yeah, by the way, were also played by me. So I didn't have to hire tons of actors. I didn't have to hire my friends. I didn't have to have my zoo crew. I didn't have to have my crew. My funny character friends that I found on the street, right? Because I used to do that, and I would rather swallow strychnine than have a crew of jackasses sitting in here. So I decided I'd make up funny voices, and I would talk to myself. And, oh, yeah, along the way came the extra added bonus. Numbskulls out in the audience would call in and talk to the voice as if the guy was real. So I hit upon a new idea. People would write about it. The LA Times, the New York Times Magazine. Tons and tons of people from across the country talking about, wow, what a different idea. And every day I'd come in here and bleed from the eyes and the ears and the nose. I'd go home and vomit blood. I'd go home and my wife would have to put the purple cape around me and just kind of lead me off the stage like freaking James Brown in that whole please, please, please routine, which I still can't get enough of. And they'd lay me down and they'd give me a cup of soup and they'd, forget it. I'd rather listen to this.
Long to hear that all aboard.
And then I finally realized, I said, what am I? I'm putting out so much energy. I put out pound for pound more entertainment per dollar than any other guy on the radio in the history of the business. I'm doing it all myself. Let's just say that what I did sucked on ice, which maybe there's a few of you out there who think it does. Then I would suggest, even though it won't do any good, turning it to another station. All right, now, having said that, it's still a lot of work. And what do I get? What do I get? I get an audience that, for the last week and a half, has contributed nothing. Nothing. All it is give, 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 give. For 3 hours a day, that's all I ever do is give. And I don't mind. But every now and again, you need to give. And you don't. I realize that you have lots to do out there. I realize you have busy lives and you have tons and tons of things that keep you occupied. I understand that. But since 1960, there's been this marvelous format called talk radio where you can express yourself. And you can tell us how you're feeling about all the big issues of the day, huh? Oh, we want to know what you think. Yeah. We want to know what you think about Iraq and the ragheads and Bush and OJ and Chandra and kidnap kids and the cruise ships with the virus and somebody's got the runs. Check in on that. But it's all right. It's all right, because I will press on as I always have. And I will continue to do the very best that I can at bringing you the very best radio show in the history of this planet. I know most of you don't understand what we do. I understand that. I know most of you don't get it. I know that we are at least 5 to 10 years ahead of the radio curve. I understand. I understand that. And there's a very good chance that I will leave this business before the culture, before the radio culture catches up to me. Because frankly, there's other things I want to do with my life. I mean, I don't mean to, but there are. There's other things I want to do. There's, I don't know. I'll figure out what it is. Someday I will be gone. And someday they will talk about us for years, years and years and years. Someday the people of this world will... Can you turn that down, please? Someday the people... Someday people are going to talk about... Someday people will remember me. Someday the people will... Oh, forget it! Forget it! Forget it! That's what I think of line one, Chris. By the way, here's what I think of line three. I just hung up on her, too. 1-800-449-8686. That's the number that isn't plugged in on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous... And now, Phil Hendry.
Larry, you wrote a letter to the L.A. Times called The Young Woman in the New Millennium.
I did, Phil, yes.
And you tell me how that came about?
Well, it came about because of a tragic, a sad love affair for me that went bad. I was very much in love with a young lady named Anne. She was a terrific gal. She betrayed me.
Was she with another man?
Well, no, it was not that. What she was not the person that I thought I was interested in. It is funny, and what I wrote the letter about, it's funny how love can turn into someone, how love can turn around so quickly, and how the woman that I love turned into somebody I didn't know anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the spark was gone. I mean, in one moment, the woman who I thought was my soulmate became a stranger. And that behavior of passing gas while we were together in bed severed a tie that I thought could never be severed.
Yeah, but she essentially farted in bed.
And I know what you're saying, but I think it's something that women, young women, not do. And if I could, Phil, I wanted to read a part of the letter that I wrote to the L.A. Times, because...
But you know that there's people laughing right now.
No, and I understand they're laughing, but realize what I'm talking about. We are not raising a generation of cultured young women anymore. We are raising a generation of women who are uncouth, of women who have no social grace. And I would address this to the young women in your audience. When you are waiting for a man to call... When you are waiting for a man to come to the door, and he is the one for you, he is a man who you love, don't act like an animal. And don't allow your body to be impure. Don't allow your body to expel in an unsocial manner. Young women don't do that. Men do it because women find it endearing, I suppose. Young women don't do that. And some people think that a woman behaving that way is acceptable. I wasn't raised that way.
All right, this lady, Anne... Who you loved, right?
I loved her with all of my heart, yes, sir.
She farted.
All right, Phil, the point that I am trying to...
And if I could just interrupt, the point you're making is that she was not being a young woman. It may be off-putting, but love finds a way around these things.
A woman will do... Any woman that does that is a woman who will embarrass you in front of your friends. No young woman behaves that way. And a woman who will raise children, who does that kind of thing, could raise social misfits, grow up to be sociopaths.
Do you really think that farting in bed and...
Well, you use the word, Phil, and it's funny. But I lay there with a lady who I loved very much, a woman who I wanted to make my wife. We fell asleep. She fell asleep in my arms. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up, and Anne was still in my arms. And I heard her release. And
you guys had a great thing.
I heard this sound, which was the passing of gas. And that shattered a lot of illusions.
What illusions would that shatter? That she's human?
That she acted like a barnyard animal under my mother's roof while she was with me in my bed.
Lloyd, or whatever character I'm doing this hour, Larry, you got to understand something.
It's Larry.
Yeah, you have to understand. She was asleep.
Look it, Phil, if a woman lets go like that, if a woman allows herself to relax like that, it means she can relax in other situations.
You were spending the night with a woman that you loved.
Yes, I was.
And she was asleep.
Yes, sir.
And she farted in her sleep.
Yeah, and you know something, Phil? We'd been out to dinner, and we spent the... When she was flatulent, I wanted to reach into my wallet and just hand her a $100 bill. Because that's how dirty she made me feel.
Did you leave?
Yes, I did. I was heartbroken.
All right, has she called you?
I've asked Mother not to put her calls through to me.
What does your mom think about this?
Well, Mother just sits and watches television. There have been times I've tried to talk with her about this. She waves her hand at me like she's bored or something. I remember the song, Phil. Ribbons from her hair, souvenirs of days together, the ring she used to wear, pages of an old love letter, traces of love long ago. And that's what's left to me. And so my message to young women is this, and I said this to the LA Times, be a young lady. Don't be an animal. Show the man that you're with respect. When you do that kind of a thing, which is release a gas like that, or Mr. Henry says farting, which I guess is the funny way of saying it, but when you release gas, and you're a young woman, men do that kind of thing, it's almost as if, it's not fair, I understand, but it's almost as if it's expected of men to do that kind of thing. But a young lady doesn't do that. And you do that in front of a man who loves you, and you can ruin everything. Every ounce of love that he has for you, every ounce of caring that he has for you can fly right out the window, right along with those noxious odors let me tell you what.
What is it about that? I'm going to give our phone number out here, too, by the way, if I could, Larry.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. What is it about the imperfection of that act that bothers you?
Well, you're trying to psychoanalyze me now. You know as well as I do, Phil.
No, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you.
Women just don't have any control, and they're not doing anything about it. My aunt could have controlled herself, but no. Instead, she was willing to let me go with that disgusting act. She was willing to watch me walk right out the door when she could have not done that and kept me for herself. Now, Phil, I make a respectable mid-five figures. I've currently been promoted to assistant manager at Culver Print. I have the company truck. I have my mother has agreed to, if we got married, to agree to let us use the house on weekends so we could watch television. Let me tell you something. I offer a woman a lot, and all I ask of a woman is that she be a woman who is respectful of me. I am a Christian. I do not degrade women. I do not offend them by offering to perform oral sex on them. Everything that I do is of a Christian nature. And what I offer a woman is simply, I think, a good life. And what did I get in return? She lay there in my arms. She let one go. And we are not Neanderthals. We have a choice. If you need to do that, excuse yourself. Go into a bathroom.
And what if you're asleep?
You can hold it in your sleep as well. I had a dream one night that I was dreaming that I needed to let one go, and I dreamt that I held it in. And I'm sure in that moment, subconsciously, I did.
You've given up a woman that you love very much.
You say I'm trivializing this, Phil.
I believe that you are, sir.
And I am not trivializing this because a young lady that would do that is willing to give up her man. Young women are an idol for us. They are a vision for us. They are an image that men want to keep in their hearts and in their minds. And when a young lady does that, farts or whatever you want to call it, she destroys the image of womanhood.
Well, I got to tell you something.
And I know what you're going to tell me. You've been married so-and-so a number of years, and your wife farts.
Well, you know something? I've been in a lot of relationships, and it happens. And I've been with a lot of women who are damn proud of their farts. I've been with women who sit there and go, oh, guess what? What's that? I had a girlfriend once that counted them down.
What do you mean?
I had a girlfriend once who used to go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then bang, let one go.
All right, well, and that's your choice, I guess. You want to be with an animal.
She was not an animal. She was a very beautiful young woman. The fact is,
if my aunt was willing to spray me with her filth, what's next? Vomiting on me? There is no difference.
Oh, come on, man. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the Phil Henry Show here.
The saddest part is that she is pregnant, and because of this, she's now going to be a single mother. And
she's pregnant with your child.
Yes, she is. I informed your producer of that.
You have kicked a woman into the street who is pregnant.
Wait, Mr. Henry, I have not kicked anyone into the street. She acted of her own volition. She's carrying my child. She wants that child to be fatherless. She could have held that gas.
Well, I just want to be clear. This woman is out of your life because she cut a fart and she's carrying your baby.
And Mr. Henry, I would appreciate it if you not make me the bad guy.
I'm trying as desperately as I can to understand you. I just want to be clear. This woman is now out in the street and she's carrying your baby.
It was her choice to put that's, and it went into the mattress too, which means that it is devalued. All right, sir? That was her choice.
While she was sleeping, the pregnant mother of your child...
And your melodramatics, Mr. Henry, do not... They don't bend me at all.
No, I just... While this woman was sleeping, she cut a fart, the pregnant mother of your child, and you have let her go out of your life.
Again, Mr. Henry, she could have controlled it. It went into the mattress. It has devalued the mattress. It was... And she knew that I looked up to her and thought she was my angel. And then, in the middle of my reverie about her being an angel, comes the sound of... It sounded like a watermelon hitting cement. And I was thinking about what an angel she was.
Maybe you ought to get women off the pedestal a little bit.
And your psychology is not going to work on me. I'm simply saying this is what I wrote the LA Times.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Larry Grover, who... I didn't know that this woman was pregnant with his kid. I didn't know that. I knew that he had broken up with this girl, Anne, and he wrote a letter to the LA Times about how young women today are uncouth. It turns out she had cut a fart while he was sleeping with her, and he kicked her out of his life. He kicked her out of his life. Now, that's one thing. The pregnant mother of his child? This is exactly what happens when guys, you know, think that women are something more than human. Like there's some kind of angels. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Men's image of women. Is it a little too pristine? Are we putting them on a pedestal? Larry Grover is with us. He's written a letter to the LA Times entitled Young Women in the New Millennium. Young women who do not act ladylike. ruining our image of them. And you let a woman go out of your life. I mean, she literally, you kicked her out of your bed because she farted, and she's pregnant with your child.
I did, and if a woman feels this great a need to be a complete pig, then she can damn well go outside so a man's image of women isn't ruined forever. And I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Henry. From now on, I will ask women if they feel the need to do that. If they want to release gas, they can hit the road.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hi. I have a question for you, Larry. You profess to be a Christian man with women a little too high on the pedestal.
I'm very Christian.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why are you sleeping with someone under your mother's roof?
There's nothing against sleeping with a person that you love in the connubial bed if you're in love with them.
So it is okay as a Christian to sleep with a woman out of wedlock?
Are you Christian?
Yes, I am.
Well, then why are you asking me these questions? You should know this. You should know that it's perfectly all right.
Well, I don't know. In my Bible, I can't find anywhere about women farting.
Where does it say that you can't?
Well, that is one of the commandments, adultery.
Ah, if you're married. That's what adultery is, if you're married. I'm not married, and neither was Anne.
That's up for discussion.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, okay.
No, it isn't.
Okay, well, what are we doing here?
No, it won't.
Ask a Catholic.
Am I what?
Ask any Catholic.
Ma'am, I'll have you know I'm a Christian. I would never even think of performing the oral performance on a woman. I have never performed that way.
Performed which way?
In the oral manner.
But it's okay to sleep with them,
yes,
impregnate them, but it's not okay for her to fart.
Ma'am, I was going to be the father of her child. I was going to take care of this woman in every manner that is associated with the law and the rules of the church.
Okay, you still are the father of her child.
I am not any longer. No, ma'am.
Yes, you are.
No, I am not.
Yes,
how do you
yes absolutely
how
you
How do you
are.
Figure that you're not?
Because she has befouled my bed. Do you think the mother of Jesus expelled that way?
Oh, don't bring up...
Absolutely
you
she
think,
did.
Oh, so now you are saying that Mary farted...
It is a normal human,
it's a human
bodily
thing.
Function.
But more to the point, how does this exempt you from your duties as a father?
By this woman releasing gas and destroying my image of her as a pristine human being, she gave up her rights to my love and bastardized her son.
Oh, God.
Oh,
man.
Good God.
Well, I can tell. She farted me right out of her life, and thus I am not her father. I'm not the father of that boy.
Well, it sounds like that was the best thing she could have done, then.
No, you know what she's going to do? She's going to take you to court, pal, for paternity, okay?
How dare this woman I'm talking to... Ma'am, you think the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ cut farts?
Yes, I do. She was a human being.
She was a human being,
a
man.
Normal human function.
And I suppose you think our Lord did, too. Oh, now you got to think about that one, don't you?
You know something, pal?
Was not human. Mary was. It is a normal human function.
Well, I want to get back to the point that I'm trying to make, that don't you think it's unladylike? That was the point I was trying to make. Don't you think that young women should not do that?
I think that women, like men, can't help it.
Absolutely.
The Lord Jesus Christ that I believe in doesn't fart.
Well.
And the Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord, she of the golden faith that came down and swept inside, the Holy Spirit that succulated and later was the ascension of our Jesus, she didn't fart.
I totally disagree with that.
Well, you're going to have a paternity suit.
You know something, Mr. Andrew? I'm prepared to cross that bridge when I get to it.
Thank you very much, Debbie. 1-800-449-8686. Belinda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, if men can fart, women can fart.
Women are much more, they smell nicer. Women have a softer image.
But we are still human. If you're saying you're human, then we're human.
I understand that. But you need to know, Belinda, how men see you. We see you as angels.
Well, I believe it was... But you cannot kick this woman to the curb, pregnant or not, because she farted in your bed because she shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Why do you say she shouldn't have been there in the first place?
Because you're not married to her.
Ma'am, I was in love with her. I was willing to share my salary with her. I believe it was D.H. Lawrence who wrote that women are closer to infinity than men. And if that be the case, women cannot shatter our image of them by cutting noxious, corrosive, fetid stenches into very expensive mattresses.
Did you tell her this before she did it, or did you just kick her as soon as she did it?
Unfortunately, I did not tell her. You're right.
Oh, so she had...
I don't think you can put women on a pedestal like you do and then not tell them the rules and then kick her to the curb. You've got to talk about the rules. If you're sleeping with this woman, she needs to know the rules.
All right, well, if I told her don't fart, then would it have been fair?
Well, you probably should have done that before you slept with her. Yes, it would have been fair.
Are you Christian?
Yes, I am.
Though I walk through the shadow, I will fear...
a man that farts in the bed, and I still love him. It doesn't matter if he farts or not. If he doesn't fart, then we got a big problem because he's got to blow up.
He's got a what?
He's got to blow up if he doesn't let it out, and so is she.
He's got a blimp up there. I didn't...
All right. Thank you very much, Belinda, and I agree.
I didn't understand her. She was... blimp.
1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. World famous.
World famous. World famous.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know how cool this song and how many people are playing this now? Like the Lincoln commercials are playing it, and this was on the soundtrack of The Sopranos. I rediscovered this song 6 years ago. I played it on my radio show in L.A. Now the next thing you know, Lincoln and The Sopranos. Yeah, sure, Phil. Yeah, right, Phil. You're so great. Yeah, you're tops, Phil. I was playing Miser Lou down in Atlanta before Pulp Fiction came out. Yeah, you're so bitchin', Phil. Why don't you shut up, Phil? Sounds a little gay now, though, doesn't it?
We move like the sea.
Yeah, too much heroin there.
You're all I want to know.
Little dreamy there.
I feel free.
Yeah, I'll bet you feel free.
I feel free.
I can walk down the street with nothing on. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Clapton, who said he never wanted to go commercial, but funny how that all changed. Yeah, he quit the Yardbirds because he didn't dig the whole commercial, bent they were on. Oops, sold a few albums, haven't you, Eric? All of you guys make me sick. You're so good, you make me sick. I can walk down the street with nothing on. No, the pavement's a one-use crowd. I can whip it out and though I know I want to whip it out.
Dance floor is like the sea.
Guys don't sing this way anymore, do they?
Yeah.
It's all real angry ass stuff now. Back in the day, it was all. The British did that for us, though. The American singers, we had Elvis and cats like that. Now here come the Brits. Now everybody's singing like they don't have any gonads. Listen, they are Cream. Very unfortunate choice of names. 1-800-Yes? Do what? I'm not going to play that crap. I ain't playing that. No, I ain't playing Sunshine of Your Love because it took me years to get over that song. Do you know how many times I had to play that? Nope. Sunshine of Your Love is just going to have to stay up where the sun doesn't shine. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry. Excuse me. Phil Henry Show. Guess what's back? Y'all. Have you heard your friends saying this? I hear my kids saying y'all. I lived down south for a total of my 50 years. I lived down south about 6-7 of them. And during that time in Atlanta, New Orleans, Orlando, and Miami. And Miami kind of doesn't qualify, although if you get outside of Miami like 3 miles, you're right back in the middle of gator country, man. You're right back out there in gator bait country. But I spent a fair amount of my time avoiding saying y'all. And after 6 years down, you can't do it anymore. You start saying, y'all want to go get a drink? Y'all want to go get a beer? What, y'all want to get some lunch? Y'all, and I got out of the South and I stopped saying it, right? Guess what? Now it's all over the place. Everybody's with the y'all. What's that about? Hey, y'all, we're dancing. And my kids, howdy, y'all, as they're coming through the door. What's up, y'all? I can dig it. I seriously, it's kind of like me saying I can dig it. But that's the one thing I got to keep out of my house at all costs, that y'all stuff. That's very regional. And that is a very cute and endearing affectation of our brethren down south, Jim. But I ain't bringing that mess in my house. Sup, y'all? Sup, y'all, homies? Hey, yo. I already got yo, and I already got sup. I don't want to do y'all. Dig? You feel me, bruh? Man, I swear to God, the guy says to me, may I help you? Y'all got, oh, and I just heard myself say, y'all, oh, Jesus. You know, I lived down there like 6 years or 7 years, whatever it was. I'm in Orlando one day, and cat says to me, and then he's, you know, what kind of gas do you want, sir? Yeah, fill it up. And I heard the accent sort of squeaking out. Say, y'all, got on the train, got on the plane, got on the bus, and I was gone. And I heard the kids get up one morning going to watch television. It's y'all up, y'all at, y'all. Hey, please. It's cool to talk like a dumbass. And one of the cool things about talking like a dumbass is you can infiltrate and camouflage and sort of maneuver in the areas where dumbasses congregate. So you get down to that y'all crap and talking sup, homies, and do you feel me, brah, and all that other dumbass talk, then you can operate in those areas where the denizens of the deep do, and you know, see what they're thinking to some extent. But after a while, you desperately want to hear a word with more than four syllables, three, just like a word with three syllables would be nice. And I recall not too long ago, I was with a friend, and she wanted me to spend the weekend out on the houseboat of her family, and there I was with her brother-in-law and her sister. And this is the kind of guy that comes downstairs in his baseball cap. Dig? So, give the cap a rest, man. What, are you sleeping that thing? Guy comes downstairs in his underwear, but the baseball cap, this guy has sex wearing the baseball cap. He takes a shower wearing his baseball cap, and he sat there drinking his coffee, and I said, geez, this is a very nice houseboat you have here, Lewis, or whatever his name was. He goes, yep, Mary and I feel very blessed. Yeah, we're blessed. Okay. Well, I got to be going now. What's the matter? I don't know. I'm just depressed all of a sudden. I got to go. You want some boiled peanuts? No. No more boiled peanuts, please. I just got to go, man. I don't feel good. All the Southern jokes for years, you know, it's not cool anymore. South's going to rise again, and they started with the y'all. And it's a cool place to live. It really is. I lived in Atlanta. I mean, they don't dig any radio. Radio in Atlanta is okay. I mean, I think we're on in Atlanta, aren't we still? I mean, I don't know. Every now and again, it's just... I never know where we're on anywhere anymore. Nice town. I dug Atlanta. I lived in Midtown. Great place. Real conservative. And I, if we're on in Atlanta, I'm shocked. I'm stunned if we're on the air in Atlanta. And the same... we are. Like, it's got the heads up. We're on two stations in Atlanta. Things have must have changed since 1992. And Orlando, and a lot of towns, you really get to know the people there. And I almost married a girl from South Carolina. We're on WGST in Atlanta, and we're on WHEL in Fort Helen, Georgia. 105.1. But I made a lot of good friends down there. But after a while, when you start saying y'all, you gotta go. You gotta go, and when you gotta go, you gotta go. Do not, and the southern women... God, are they hot. I ain't kidding you either. They got that big hair, they got that accent, and damn, do they party. I don't care about that Southern Belle baloney about, you know, we all come from that genteel thing. My ass, you come from something genteel. I got something genteel for you. God, they are beautiful, and they're hot, and they're, and all of them, man, black and white. And red all over. Really sexy. Beautiful women down there. But they stalk you. That's the only problem. And I had to kill one of them. All right, that's my story for today. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Anyway, talking about Southern women, I had a couple of girlfriends when I lived in the South. I almost married a girl, like I told you, from South Carolina. They're really beautiful women, and they're a little wild. Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Hendry. You were talking earlier, and I've got a bet with a friend of mine on this. If you have sex with yourself, does that make you gay?
No, it doesn't make you... Sex with yourself? No, it doesn't.
Okay. If you have sex with your clone, are you gay?
Yes, you're gay. With your clone, yes.
All right, but what if your clone only uses its hand on you?
What are you talking about, man?
What if...
Yeah, you'd be gay.
Well, it's the same thing as you using your hand.
What is...
If your clone used his hand on you, are you gay?
Yes.
What if you used your own hand on you?
No, I'm not gay.
Well, that doesn't make sense. If you have...
If you have sex with your clone, you're gay.
So I'm not gay if I touch my wiener, but if I touch yours, I'm fancy?
Right in the middle of talking about chicks down south, along comes that.
If you have sex with yourself, are you gay?
See, that's the pathetic nature of this show. 1-800-449-8686. You ever wonder what it takes to hit all the right notes with women? Well, AskMen.com has come up with another one of these lists on how to hit on chicks. It's free. In other words, you don't have to send away for that book, How to Be a Hit with Women. I can tell you how to be a hit with women. You just got to stay at it, man. You can't give up. You just got to stay at it with the energy of a Benzedrine addict. And you will, my friend, find the promised land. I guarantee it. The one thing that women love is persistence. Now, I'm not talking about stalking, okay? Can we just be clear about stalking for a minute here? If she doesn't dig you, leave her alone, get away, and move on to new territory. I'm just saying persistence with a lot of different women. And if you, and it's one of those things, if I knew at 18 what I finally found out at 33, my life would have been, well, I'd be dead from AIDS. I mean, I just, but I would have had a hell of a time. I'd be dead. I would have gotten gonorrhea like five times over. All right, here is number 10 on this ridiculous list. Compare her to art. Tell her that her flowing hair is like the lines of a famous painting. Let me see. You know, your hair reminds me of Degas. Have you seen Gauguin and the Tahitian women? Your hair is very much like the Tahitian women in Gauguin's paintings. Are you gay? You know, you look an awful... Your breasts are like the women in Picasso. One's up here on your head and the other one's down on your ass. Aside from being both clever and original and artistic compare... Oh, get out of here. That's a load. You know, your hair reminds me a lot of, if you've seen the Gauguin Tahitian women, it's very much... Oh, do you design clothes? Because you sound so homosexual. Look at her seductively. Otherwise known as an eye smile, a provocative glance is more than just a regular smile in that you also communicate your feelings non-verbally. It can take the place of a thousand pickup lines and is likely a safer bet. After all, you can hardly come on too strong with a look and she's less likely to misread your signal. I don't know what that means. Look at her, smile, just like that. And then she turns to her girlfriend and keeps talking, I suppose. The problem with that is a lot of you guys with the wonky eye. Let's talk about that. You know, that seductive look may work for some guys, but if you've got one eyeball that's staring at the painting and another one's down here on the floor and you're trying to, you know, hold one hand over one eye and look at her seductively. Yeah. So when you look at her seductively, just have one hand over the bad eye and just, how you doing? And wink it. Number 8, give her an original compliment. The trick here is not to make any obvious observations that, oh, that sweater looks great on you line is getting predictable. If she's really attractive, chances are she's heard all the old cliches, so instead catch her off guard and say something nice about her shoulders. Yes, her shoulders. All of this stuff is going to send one message and one message only. Can I be your interior decorator? What are you talking about? Your shoulders, the line of your shoulders and the line of your hair. Have you noticed my breasts at all? No, not really. I'm just looking at your shoulders, and your toes just are marvelous. Can I redo your wall coverings? Or you got a shoulder fetish, which is going to freak her out. The trick here is not to make any obvious observation. If she's really attractive, chances are she's heard all the old cliches, so instead catch her off guard. You can also try to speak her language and talk about her whole outfit without sounding too effeminate. Oh, Roger! Or try guessing what perfume she's wearing. But be sure you know your perfumes, or this tactic may backfire. That's really beautiful nail polish. Are you gay? What, let me see. Is that opium? Are you wearing the Chanel? Do you own a women's clothing store or something? Because you're really... God, are you a fag? Okay, thank you. Pay attention to detail. Take a mental note of everything she's wearing, from her earrings to her shoes and everything in between. Oh, did I already do that one? This will prove to be especially rewarding in the future. She'll be so touched that you actually remember every little detail. She's bound to feel exceptional, like her brassiere size. Do you wear a girdle? Give her space. If she seems reluctant to hand out her home number, don't try to force it out of her. Even if things went smoothly up to that point, she may want to take things especially slow or may even not be interested. Mention that you wouldn't mind calling her once in a while and let her take it from there. Oh, get out of here. This is crap. You know what you do? Give her your number. Give her your number. Hey, here's my card. Here's my number. You know, if you want to, hey, you know what? There's a cool place that I go and I like to have sex in the bottom of a storm channel. So if you ever want to go with me sometime... Give her your freaking number. Tell her she looks hot in that dress. There's nothing wrong with that. You look great in that dress. Really? You like the dress? I do. I like that dress a lot. You'd like to be mothered? I'd like to be smothered by you. Ooh, you bad boy. Come here, mama. There. That's what you say. And if she don't dig it, move on, Charlie. Just move on, baby. Don't worry about it. And then finally here, you know what she says? I like that dress. Thank you. On the floor. Can I walk you to your car? No, thanks. Can I walk you to my car? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryeshow.com. Don't forget, it's getting to be a lot like Christmas, man. It's smelling like it, looking like it, it feels like it. Saint Nick is around, so... Get those CDs. Get our Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Get our Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Put together a nice little under the tree pack for your Phil Hendry fam and the Phil Hendry fan and the family. Okay, PhilHendryShow.com for the CD. Call this number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445.
The world famous Phil Hendry.